Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current online. Stand up for. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. 822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings. Gary Wellings.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Drift. Good to have you tuning in the studio today with me, County Commissioner for Washtenaw, Dan Smith. Welcome, Dan.
Thank you, Gary. Good afternoon.
And as usual, we'll be going through some current events and some news for the week. You can reach me, Gary, at thedailydrift.com if you want to email me your comments, or you are always welcome to call in 734-822-1600. We have on the phone right now, our sponsor for this half hour is the Detroit Shrine Circus, which is in town this weekend. Joe Amador, how are you doing today?
Doing good, Gary. Thanks for having us on today.
No problem. Tell me a little bit, what's our time schedule for the Shrine Circus in town this weekend, Joe?
Today we have a show at 3 o'clock and at 7:30, tomorrow at 1 and 5 o'clock, and then next Thursday, Friday and Saturday at 10 a.m., 4 o'clock and 7:30, and then 1 and 5 on Sunday again, which would be Easter Sunday.
Awesome. Now, the Detroit Shrine Circus, all the proceeds help the Shriners Hospital, correct?
It helps the local temple, which funds us to run our transportation and our other events at the temple, which covers the overhead. For that, we spend quite a bit of money transporting the children, as you know, back and forth to the hospitals, and that's how we raise money for that and operating the overhead of the temple and things of that sort. And then we get a lot of donated money for that and other, you know, fundraising projects that we do for the hospitals themselves.
Okay, and a lot of people don't know this. We talked about this actually last week. The Shriners give, what, over $2 million a day? Isn't that what it comes out to be?
Correct. Spent each and every day on the hospitals. And then over and above that, we spend the money to transport the children and a parent to and from the hospitals at no out-of-pocket cost to the parents.
That's awesome. So this is a great cause you're helping fund when you go see the Detroit Shrine Circus. And I went last year, and it's really awesome. It's a small venue, so you're up close and personal with the acts, and great seats all around. What's our pricing, Joe?
$15, $20, $30, $35, and $50.
Okay, and that depends how close you get to the ring.
Yep.
Yeah.
If you get where you can almost literally reach out and touch the elephants as they walk by at the ringmaster, that would be the $50 seats. There's only 100, you know, for a show of those. But you can, you know, get the other ones. You know, where can you go and get, you know, family entertainment for that kind of price on the, you know, general admission seats?
Right, exactly. Okay, so what's the website, Joe?
Detroit Shrine Circus and DetroitShriners.com.
Okay, so DetroitShrineCircus.com and DetroitShriners.com, and all the information and links are there so people can buy their tickets and do whatever they need to do at that
website.
Awesome.
Or they can call in at the 800-922-CIRCUS number as well.
Okay, 800-922-CIRCUS.
Correct.
Great. Okay, awesome, Joe. Thanks so much for calling in, and we'll be glad to see you maybe tomorrow because we're going to head down and make sure people get your kids out. Take them to the circus. Do a little old-fashioned American values at the circus. Thanks,
Joe. That would be great to see you, Gary. Thank you for having us on.
All righty. Take care. Thanks, Joe.
Yep.
Okay, there you go. Dan.
Wonderful.
Yeah,
lots of fun.
Yeah, so we went last year. It really was. It was cool. It was up close and personal. It's a very nice little circus. So, well, I say little. The big top's a big top. There's a reason they call it the big top. But, well, Dan, we had you in today, and locally, the news this week coming out of the county commission, and a lot of people, let's face it, don't pay attention to county politics, do they?
Probably not. That's one of the most frequent questions I get from folks when I'm out walking around saying hi to them is, well, what exactly do you do?
Yeah, well, it's true. I think it's one of these things people take for granted. But this week, after Michigan went right to work, which starts
next Thursday, I believe, okay. March 28th.
Right to work will go into effect. And now we've been hearing that, you know, some school systems, university have been doing this. Washtenaw County, the county commission, this week granted 10-year contracts and 1 5-year contract to 15 of the 17 unions you guys use? Right.
The vast majority of the unions, and those unions cover almost all the county employees.
Okay. So they kind of rushed this through, would you say?
It was a very quick process. We started back in early February, and here we are mid-March, and it's done. So that's about 6 weeks, give or take. And usually these contract negotiations go on for months.
Right. And normally your contracts are 2 years.
2 years. These are actually, we're calling them 10-year contracts, but given that they took effect on Thursday and we're not even 3 months into the year, they're closer to 11-year contracts.
Yeah. All right. So for me, when you told me this, because, you know, I'll be honest with you. I perused the internet. I hit AnnArbor.com. I didn't even see this on like a headline in AnnArbor.com. It must have been buried somewhere when I go through to read and stay up current. It had to be buried or came out in the late afternoon or something because I missed it. So the media was not present at these things? Nobody?
No, AnnArbor.com did have an article on it, a couple of articles. It's been in the works for 6+ weeks. So there's been articles that they've reported on this over the weeks,
but it has
moved very quickly.
Yeah, I hate to say complicit, but you know what? The media should be watchdogging this kind of stuff. I'm not judging, okay? I'll try not to judge. I mean, I want to leap out and say something stinks in Denmark on this, but I honestly go to AnnArbor.com once a day, and I go through, you know, the first, I don't know, foot and a half of their webpage. Never saw it. Never saw anything on this. I'm there every day, so they must have buried it somehow, or it certainly didn't strike the editors down there as important enough to front page or headline anything. You were the only vote against a 10-year contract for these unions. Why throw up the brick and say, you're the lone guy, lone wolf in the liberal woods? What happened?
Well, there's a 9-member board, and the vote was 8-1 against these contracts. You're right. I voted against it. These 10-year or almost 11-year contracts are unprecedented. And first, the term of the contract is completely unprecedented. The speed at which we negotiated it is unprecedented. There's certainly things in the contract that was approved on Wednesday night that I am really very, very much in favor of. We are changing from a defined benefit program, a pension, to a defined contribution program, a 457 or a 401k for retirement.
Okay, so that's good.
That's,
I mean, that's
certainly
one thing in there that's good.
Certainly good. We're doing a similar thing for retiree health care. Right now, those that retire from the county have a retiree health care benefit provided by the county until they're Medicare eligible. All right, that in the contract is being changed. The county will set up what's called a health retirement account, an HRA. And once someone retires from the county, they'll get the balance of that account turned over to them to use for health care benefits until they reach Medicare eligibility
okay,
or something.
So hold on for one thing that it strikes me. The county will cover their cost until they are eligible for Medicare, which is age 65?
Yeah, right now I think that's
what
it is.
When I think of retirement, I normally think of retirement at age 65. In my case, I'll probably be 90 before I can retire. But do people put in 20, 30 years? Do they retire early from the county?
The retirement eligibility at the county is a sum of your age and your years of service, and that adds up to a certain number. I believe it's 70 or 75, something like that. So it's a bit of an equation, and I think it's changed.
If you went in at 20 years of age of the county and you worked till you were 50 –
yes.
You got 30 plus your age, whatever. You're gonna be getting out pretty doggone early.
Yeah.
Nice.
Are
they accepting applications?
The current benefit structure for existing employees is once someone retires from the county after 30 years of service, they get a pension and they get health care benefits provided to them until they reach Medicare eligibility at 65 or whatever it may be as Congress decides to change that. So in the contract, something I was very pleased is in there is that the pension is no longer there. As I said, that's turned into a 457 or 401k. And the healthcare benefit is turned into also a defined contribution. There is no healthcare benefit that's provided by the county per se. There's an account, and they can use the funds in that account to buy private insurance or pay for healthcare expenses out of pocket or whatever the individual chooses to do. But the county won't cover their benefit per se once that account's turned over to them.
So they're, which is good. So they've gone to defined benefit.
Defined contributions, not defined benefits. Defined benefits.
Defined benefits.
Right.
And how much does the county put into that?
Well, that's part of the whole problem in all this. So there's lots of numbers and lots of different benefits, and there's sliding scales and ladders, and it increases based on how many years someone's been in the county. So the health care account, for example, the county's contributions to that go up the longer someone has been working for the county. So lots of different things, lots of different formulas, the raises that are built in the contract. In some years, they're dependent on what property tax revenues are. So lots of different stuff. And with the short duration of this negotiation phase, there just wasn't time to get a good handle on what the costs of all those different numbers meant.
Okay,
and that's why I voted no.
All right, because my head's spinning right now. The first thing I'm thinking, everything you're saying, I'm like, wait a minute, slow down, because there's a detail I want to know about.
Right. So it all sounds good and it kind of feels good, but there's just way too many numbers in this thing and too short a time to really know what the true impact on this is. And in some respects, we can't know the true impact because we're trying to project 10 years down the road, which we've never done before.
Yeah, right. All right, well, we're going to dig a little deeper into this when we come back. Derek, we're going to go to a break, and when we come back, we'll do some digging. See you on the other side.
Now, see, you shouldn't have made me.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
Ignite your passion for adventure, action, and travel. The Banff Mountain Film Festival World Tour will exhilarate you with amazing big screen stories when it comes to the Michigan Theater at 7 p.m. on April 7th. Journey to exotic locations, paddle the wildest waters, and climb the highest peaks. Get your tickets today and be taken away to the most captivating places on Earth. To learn more, call 734-764-3967 or visit recsports.edu/outdooradv. Wigs for Kids provides custom fit, age-appropriate wigs at no cost to Michigan children who are experiencing hair loss as a result of cancer treatment and other medical conditions. To learn more about how your contribution can make a difference in the life of a Michigan child, please call Wigs for Kids at 586-772-6656 or visit www.wigsforkids.org. That's Wigs, the number 4, kids.org. The Alzheimer's Association has launched two free resources for families impacted by Alzheimer's disease. The Alzheimer's Association's Alzheimer's Navigator is an online tool to help caregivers and people with dementia evaluate their needs, identify action steps, and connect with local programs and services. The other free resource, ALZ Connected, is powered by the Alzheimer's Association and is the first social networking community designed for people living with Alzheimer's and their caregivers. For more information on Alzheimer's disease or available resources, visit alz.org or call 800-272-3900.
You've been listening to the Wham! Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community@whamradio.com.
Don't miss Theron's Saturday Night Rock and Rhythm Review. Your fingers will be popping. It all kicks off at 4 p.m. with a special Saturday night edition of the Bone Conduction Music Show.
I came to rock, baby. I don't know about you.
Then from 6 to 8, it's Eddie's Caravan with Fast Eddie.
Sharing with you music I love.
At 8 o'clock, we explore America's roots with Radio John D's Greasy Skillet.
Sit back and relax while we hit those wagon ruts.
Then Johnny Danger invites you to go cruising with the best oldies from 10 to midnight.
We've got the mix going tonight on the Cruising Show.
Dan Martin takes you across the pond for the best of the UK on London Calling at midnight.
The Stones and their 1963 rendition of the Lennon-McCartney track, I Wanna Be Your Man.
Followed by Del Villarreal's Rockabilly Fest, Go Cat Go, from 2 to 4.
Your friend of mine, Mr. Rockin' Lloyd Tripp and his band, The Zip Guns. I am DJ Del Villarreal.
It all starts Saturday afternoon at 4 on the musical side of Wham. You're listening to The Drift on Wham Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Thank you for catching my drift this Saturday afternoon. In the studio with me, Dan Smith, County Commissioner, Washtenaw County. Dan, thank you for joining us.
Well, nice to be here, Gary.
Okay, so we were talking last segment about not why yet, but that the county rushed into the fact of approving 10-year contracts within a very short period of time, far shorter than you normally use to negotiate a 2-year contract. And, of course, the devil is in the details, but did anyone really get a chance to look at the details? Were there projections? Were there data that stretches out for 10 years to show me what a budget's going to look like in 2023?
Well, as I said, there really wasn't a lot of that, not a lot of projections, not a lot of analysis. There was some very high-level stuff done and an extremely high level. But this is a 10-year contract with lots and lots of moving parts. And on the surface, it looks like it may kind of have some good parts to it that offset some of the parts that maybe not so good. And so the whole thing together on the surface kind of looks okay. But I'm not sure I want to make decisions based on things that look good on the surface without some supporting data. And certainly it's difficult when you're looking out 10 years to project all these things. Well, that may be part of the reason why we shouldn't do a 10-year contract, because right, the future is so unknown. We went through an incredible 10 years in this country for the past 10 years with regards to the economy, the dot-com burst, the housing collapse. Things are starting to look like maybe they're improving a little bit. But we have no idea what the future is going to look like. Trying to figure this stuff out for 10 years is incredible. And what we've done, it really binds a lot of future boards, and
yeah,
they don't have flexibility.
So, I mean, there's got to be a risk. As a businessman, I don't see Ford Motor Company, Chrysler, or GM entering into 10-year contracts with the UAW. They do 2-, 3-, 4-year contracts.
And if they were to enter into 10-year contracts, they would have a lot of supporting data to back up why that 10-year contract was a good idea. Is this 10-year contract a good idea? I don't know. As I said in the previous segment, there's some things in there I really, really like, and we were talking about that.
Right.
But how does it all add up? What is the cost of those things? What are some projections? What do we think the property taxes are going to be? What do we think these raises are going to be? What do we think these contributions are going to be as we do these things? How many people are we going to hire? How many people are going to retire? And on and on and on it goes. I really don't know.
Yeah, I guess for me, I look at – you know, it's the revenue side. You can try and control whatever you want on spending, but you have no control on revenue. Now, answer me this. The most expensive property, the most valuable property in the county is where?
Barton Hills.
Okay.
Ann Arbor, Barton Hills.
Downtown Ann Arbor, probably.
Yeah,
that's probably the most expensive. But isn't it odd that, like, every other week we're seeing the U of M buy some more property downtown Ann Arbor, and we don't get any property tax. So there's your revenue. At the same time that we're now expecting to go 10 years out, our revenue every year is going to get smaller, because I don't see the U just saying, you know what, we're either going to pay property tax or we're not going to buy any more property.
Well, remember, the way our tax structure now looks because of Proposal A is it can decrease large part to match the market, all right? And that's what's happened over the past couple of years. Now, the way assessment values work, that lags the market by 18 months to 2 years. And that's why people were frustrated there a few years ago that their property taxes weren't going down as fast as the market was going down, just because of the way assessments work. But anyway, on the upswing now, Proposal A limits the increase to the rate of inflation or 5%. So even if we get into huge inflationary things a few years down the road, and I don't know whether that's going to happen or not, but let's just say 3 or 4 years from now, inflation 7%. We don't get to increase property taxes 7%. That's capped at 5%.
Right.
So that's another variable that, and some parts in this contract could really hurt employees as well. All right. If inflation is indeed 7 or 8% and they're only getting 2.5% raises, well, they're actually losing purchasing power.
Right.
And that's not good for the employees, which in turn is kind of bad for the taxpayer too, because they might leave the county after spending 3 or 4 years there, getting trained on the taxpayer's dollar, and then they go take that experience that we've just paid for, you and I have just paid for, and take it someplace else.
Right.
Good for them. I've got nothing against the employee. Maybe not so good for the taxpayer.
Right.
Who knows?
Yeah, so it certainly doesn't sound to me like a good business decision, because there are too many variables.
It was made in haste, very, very quickly. And one thing clearly was driving this, and that was the right to work law taking effect. And my colleagues on the Board of Commissioners made no bones about that. That was what was driving this. And we had 6-7 weeks to get this done. And that was the number one priority.
Now, the whole board is Democrats, except for you, Republican.
There's two Republicans on there.
Who's the other one? Alicia.
Alicia Ping, Alicia from Saline.
But she didn't vote with you. She voted for this.
I'll let Commissioner Ping speak for herself.
Okay. So, again, so the lone second Republican went with the board. Now, frankly, I would expect Republicans to have a little better business sense, if you ask me, but that's my opinion. Not all of them, mind you. There was a fair share at the state and federal level that Republicans are just as bad as Democrats, if you ask me.
Well, and to be clear on this contract, taken in its entirety, it could very well be a good contract. I can't say. That's the whole problem I had with this. I can't sit here and tell you, Gary, that this is a good contract and here's why. As I said a minute ago, I certainly like some of the provisions in the contract.
Right. Well, I can appreciate that. But what bothers me is the fact that the rest of the board is management by a wing and a prayer. I don't hire people by winging a prayer management. I want them to do a little work. I want them to do the data. I want them to get through this and make a decision based on facts to the best of your ability. I know nothing's perfect, but this is huge to have rushed through in that short period of time.
I'll let you be the one to make comments about my colleagues on the board, and I'll refrain from making other comments. I'll speak about how I approach things and how my colleagues approach things
for red meat, but I mean, I'll blame the board in its entirety for rushing through this. I think that's wrong, and I want to thank you for being that lone wolf, lone voice in the woods of liberalism that at least said, hey, maybe we should think about it. That's terrible. Because when you look around the state, it's happening all over. Wayne State University is doing the same thing. Western Michigan University is doing the same thing. And the U of M.
It's actually happening largely in southeastern Michigan. The reports I'm getting is that most of the rest of the state is backing away from this and isn't rushing into some of these things. The places you mentioned, the exception of Western Michigan, but largely here in southeastern Michigan, Taylor School District, U of M, Wayne State, these are all in southeastern Michigan. I think other parts of the state aren't going in this direction.
Right. The big union areas are going to probably try and do this. But and again, it's frankly for me, when the people turned down putting union nonsense into the Constitution, that was a sign for right to work to jump ahead, and our elected leaders did that. Now, with the 10-year span, my assumption is that the liberals, the Democrats, are going to try and buy this 10-year period with these contracts until they can kind of reverse right to work, which I hope never happens, but time will tell. It boggles my mind. Well, the university did the same thing, so it bothers me that people we voted for as regents to the U of M. And again, we do this all the time. We pick liberals, liberals, liberals for these regent positions on our universities. And then we wonder why our kids are turning out of the university with art degrees instead of manufacturing, computer, and engineering degrees. A liberal education is not what it used to be. You know what I mean?
The U of M Regents, they're separately elected officials. I'm not going to comment on what. No,
you've already been indoctrinated. Don't say anything. Don't say it. See,
happy to talk with you about county business, Gary.
All right, well, let's touch on something real. Oh, we're already going into another break. When we come back, I want to touch on one more county thing with you before.
All right.
See you on the other side.
Always on the go, driving to work, running errands. How do they keep informed? They listen to Wham Talk 1600, just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham for the latest issues discussed by hosts Bill Bennett, Glenn Beck, and Theronex. They stay tuned in for state and local news with Dan Martin, and they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 and advertise your business with Wham Talk 1600.
Fox News Radio, I'm Pat O'Neill. It took some 13 hours of debating, but the Senate passed its first budget in 4 years early today. Syncing the Democratic plan with a House GOP budget is the next chore.
What's unique is that they really don't have to. There's a process here on Capitol Hill called reconciliation, where they do just that. They reconcile the budget, but they don't have to because budgets aren't binding. And so in many respects, this is just a very long messaging exercise.
Fox Radio's Chad Pergram. Thanks to sequester budget cuts, the FAA plans to start closing control towers soon at 149 small airports. At Cuyahoga County Airport in Ohio, ground supervisor Jason Witten says if safety suffers, it could hurt the area's economy as well.
We have two Fortune 500 companies here, and if safety becomes a concern, then naturally companies are going to want to steer away.
The closing's due to begin April 7th. Fox News, we report, you decide.
I'm Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current. To succeed in today's business environment, your business needs to be seen by as many customers as possible. The Current newspaper serves Washtenaw, Oakland, and Livingston counties. Advertising in The Current newspaper is the best way to get your money's worth out of your print media budget. The Current has grown to 6 times its size since 2007 because we have a unique venue for local content, common sense opinion, and your business message. Getting your business message into thousands of homes for mere pennies apiece is the best way to do that, and your ad is also seen online for free. Call Sam Iaquinto at 734-323-0777. That's 734-323-0777. Or go to currentonline.com. That's CourantOnline.com. Grow your business in print and online with The Current newspaper.
This is the Clark Cast with Matt Clark.
None of the funds may be used to transport the president to or from a golf course until public tours of the White House resume.
Absolutely fantastic. This is why Congressman Louis Gohmert's one of the good guys. I got to give him a round of applause for that. The last golf outing, if the president didn't go, 341 employees in the federal government could have kept their jobs.
Don't miss the Clark Cast live Sunday afternoons, 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Thanks for tuning in and catching my drift this Saturday afternoon. In the studio with me, Washtenaw County Commissioner Dan Smith. Thanks, Dan, for joining us.
Well, it's fun to be here with you, Gary.
Yeah, well, you always have fun, don't you?
Yeah, we do.
This is a fun radio. Look at Derek's laughing back there. Yeah. Our sponsor this half hour is The Daily Drift. Go to www.thedailydrift.com. Now, you get the same news that I see every day if you go there, and I can give you a free subscription, have it right in your inbox on your email every day for you. What I do is peruse the internet, go through the stories that you're not getting anywhere else, and try to bring them directly to you through links and such. And then we also have some great local writers from the state of Michigan here. So The Daily Drift is a good place to get the news you need to know. You can reach me, 734-629-6010, if you choose to advertise on The Daily Drift. Or you can email me, Gary, at thedailydrift.com. So, Dan, we were talking this last segment about the county has gone ahead and approved these 10-year budgets to try and get around right to work.
10-year contracts.
10-year contracts, sorry. To get around right to work, which is scheduled to go into effect next week. And as you said, because they're going into effect immediately, even before the existing contracts end, they're really like almost an 11-year contract.
Close to 11 years, yeah. Okay. They went into effect on Thursday.
That's huge. And as you said, I'll agree, there's good things and bad things, but really, not knowing what's going to happen down the road, you could end up with problems for the union workers.
Well, problems for the union workers, and, you know, it's not knowing. Nobody knows the future.
Okay.
But we have little projections, and part of the reason we don't do these long-term contracts is we don't know the future.
Right.
And who's going to end up getting the better end of this 7 or 8 years down the road?
Right. Now, a lot of the universities are doing the same thing, going to these 10-year contracts to try and skirt the law. And the legislature has started talking about putting forth some legislation to, I don't know if we use the word punishment, but to try and keep them from doing this. The House Subcommittee on Higher Education Tuesday voted 4-3 to make sure that if these contracts don't have at least a 10% cost savings to the taxpayer, that they're going to reduce their funding. Now, that's for the universities. Do you worry at all? Did anyone discuss that there might be some state backlash to Washtenaw County?
Well, it's certainly a concern. I raised concerns about legal issues several weeks ago when this was first in front of the board. I continue to have these concerns. I've got nothing against lawyers, but the fact of the matter is when something ends up in court, nobody wins except for the lawyers. And I certainly don't want taxpayer dollars spent defending these contracts. And I certainly hope that doesn't happen. I would hope we don't get legislation put in our direction, but frankly, we put a bit of a target on our backs by doing this.
Right.
And is it going to draw the attention of Lansing? And are they going to try and do something in similar ways of what they're trying to do with the university and the school districts? I don't know.
Right. That makes me wonder if there is an unhappy employee of the county who is in a union and is forced to pay these dues, was looking forward to right to work, and now he's like, what do you mean? I got to continue paying for 10 more years? Are you serious? I mean, that person could sue.
You can sue for just about anything, but I'm not a lawyer. They might have a case. They might find somebody to represent them. I don't know. If they did sue, we would probably have to spend taxpayer dollars to defend ourselves. Lots of unknowns, lots of costs, what the cost of some of these things might be. If we're the first one that gets sued over something like this, we could bear the brunt of the costs. If somebody else gets sued first, we might kind of ride along with that. And my understanding is the way these things work through the legal system, they kind of take the first one against the Court of Appeals, and then it kind of applies to the whole state and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, I guess that's the pitfalls of our society. That's just the way it is. If you've got an opinion on this, 734-822-1600, call in and talk to County Commissioner Dan Smith. Ask him a question if you have one. Now, Rick Snyder said if universities are indeed bargaining in good faith, they shouldn't lose their funding. And I'll grant him that. I mean, I don't call him Rhino Rick anymore. Ever since he did Right to Work, he's all right. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm not sure that the universities are doing that. So, yeah, this is just one of those things we're going to have to keep an eye on. While we've got you in here, then, let's take a look at have you been paying any attention to our health care exchanges at the state level?
Not really.
I know you were friends with Mark Wimmett, so he didn't really ever talk to you about what was going on. Where is Mark up to anyways?
I don't know. I think he's spending some time golfing.
I want to get Mark in here one of these days. Talk to him a little bit. I don't really care what happened the last election, but he was always a good guy to talk to. So
yes, he was.
I miss him, and I think they're probably missing him in Lansing right now as well. Well, you and I, then, we can banter this together. Maybe somebody out there, a caller, will have some more information on the Senate rejecting the health care exchange. Now, they had until Thursday to accept this health exchange thing and try and get it through, and they just kind of took the pass on it, which means basically that they told the federal government, when it comes to Obamacare, it's your mess, you handle it. So there was a 2-year window where we would have gotten money from the feds to handle that. That money's gone now. But it was only 2 years. So I think what most of the Republicans were thinking was, we don't want to jump on this grenade and see what happens with it. We're going to let the feds jump on it. Now, the House went the other direction. So make any sense to you, dude? Obamacare? I mean, have you seen your health insurance premiums go up at all?
They go up every year through the portion that I pay through the office and through my company. Yeah, so they go up every year. As far as what the House and the Senate does, I certainly follow what goes on in Lansing, but I pay most attention to what goes on in Lansing as it relates to things in the county, in Washtenaw County.
Right. Well, as of now, the federal government will fully control the online marketplace for Michigan residents where they can buy health insurance, which is required under the federal health care law. Snyder wanted to partner with the federal government by spending $31 million of federal money to set up the website. So $31 million to set up a website? You're a computer guy.
That sounds like an awful lot of money.
I'm
sure there's more to it than just a website. There's probably all the back office support and hooking it up with the other systems and a lot of stuff that you're not going to see on the website to actually make the website functional and useful.
Well,
but still, $31 million, a lot of money.
But it's telling when the next line says, now the state must spend $8 million of its own money to link the computer systems to the federal exchange. So there's $8 million there. There was $31 million coming in. What's the difference between it sounds to me like there was $20 million in pork floating around there that we missed out on. Well, we missed our own pork. Yeah, which means there would have been $20 million of pork on the back end we would have had to pick up 2 years down the road. Okay, well, I'm going to buy the thought that I think the Senate did a good thing, because it seems like every day we find something else out about Obamacare that just doesn't do anything for me. Now, if you haven't been to Michigan Capital Confidential, I put the stories and links at thedailydrift.com every day. These guys are not conservative extremists. They are common sense, data-driven folks at Michigan Capital Confidential. Good place to get your information out of Lansing. Jack McHugh had a great report this week about Obamacare and the Medicaid being a budget trap, basically. A powerful new report from the Florida-based Foundation for Government Accountability suggests that cost projections relied on by Governor Rick Snyder in recommending that Michigan go along with an optional four states Obamacare Medicaid expansion may be far too low. Okay, so, which I find kind of hard to believe, because Rick is normally pretty good with data. Wouldn't you say?
I would say generally, yes.
I would say generally, yes. So it bothers me, but he's not perfect, and he is a middle-of-the-road guy, so who knows who's getting massaged on the far end of that, you know what I mean? If this is correct, it could potentially lead to future state budget crisis here, and that's a problem. I mean, once you open Pandora's box to the federal government, there's not really a whole lot of chance of closing it back down again.
Yeah. Sure. I relate all these things back to what we deal with at the county level, and the way we talk about such things at the county level is the unfunded mandates. And we don't want to go start doing something and then the state pull the funding for it, or the state says you have to do this but provide no funding for it. So these are similar concerns that Lansing is having with federal government mandates.
Okay.
So I can understand their concerns, because I have those same concerns as county commissioner.
Yeah, they're stating that we could increase state costs by some $300 million a year minimum to expand the Medicaid program like that. I mean, I don't know what's particularly wrong with it now. I know there are people who don't have coverage. I mean, I was one of those people for a long, long time. I think I went 10 years without medical insurance. And a guy at my age, that's pretty risky. That's rolling the dice, baby. That's like going to Vegas every day of the week when you're my age and you didn't have insurance, you know, honestly. All right, we're going to move on. Derek, let's go into a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the federal government, and I'm going to pique Dan's interest on President Obama. Yeah, you look real enthused. See you on the other side.
It's time for America's Vital Signs with Dr. Dave Janda, your weapon of mass instruction.
Let's get right to it. You and every American have been lied to by Obama, the Democrats, and most within the Republican Party about the economy and your financial freedom. If you continue to listen to and believe all of them, you will be destroyed financially. It was recently exposed that the Federal Reserve has manipulated the stock market over 80% of the days for the past 4.5 years since the last stock market crash. That's right, the criminals on Wall Street and Washington Washington have lulled Americans into a false sense of financial security through their criminal manipulation of the stock market. This was just confirmed this week by Dick Fisher of the Federal Reserve. He stated the gains in the stock market have come not through improvements in the economy, but instead through the artificial manipulation by the Federal Reserve in the markets. When Obama jammed this down America's throat, he promised it would increase employment. Bottom line, he lied to you again. Heads up, folks. The guests on Operation Freedom have told you to protect yourself with gold and silver. Thanks for listening. I'm Dr. Dave Janda, your weapon of mass instruction, here exclusively on Wham Talk 1600.
This Freedom and Liberty message was made possible by the best-selling book, The Awakening of a Surgeon, written by Dr. Janda. A book featured on The Oprah Winfrey Show and The Glenn Beck Show. The book instructs you on how to take control of your health and how to take back your healthcare freedom. Available online at Amazon.com and NoInjury.com. Get your copy today.
Join us every Sunday morning for Wham! Weekend Worship. At 9 a.m., it's the Lutheran Hour radio show, followed at 9:30 by the Christian Science Sentinel program. At 10, we join Bethlehem United Church of Christ. And finally, from 11 a.m. till noon, it's the First Presbyterian Church of Ann Arbor. Every Sunday morning, Wham! Offers an opportunity for you to worship wherever you are. And please visit whamradio.com and click on any of the church programs to visit their websites and to find out more about their live services.
No matter where you are in the world, whether you have a radio or not, you can listen to Wham! Talk 1600. All you need is a computer or even a smartphone. Just go to whamradio.com and click on the Listen Live link. See the latest updates to whamradio.com and be sure to listen live. From Santa Fe to Boston, Japan to England, wherever you may be, Wham! Talk 1600 is there. Online and streaming live. whamradio.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Dave Janda, host of Operation Freedom, broadcasting live from Wham! Talk 1600's Freedom Bunker every Sunday from 3 to 5. We are the only operating room in all of radio. Every Sunday in our OR, we dissect current events with the help of guests that NM Media are afraid to bring to light. Our goal is to educate and empower you. I hope you'll join our OR team every Sunday from 3 to 5 right here at Wham! Talk 1600.
Yeah!
You're catching the drift. Gary Wellings and the Drift. On Wham! Talk 1600. Call 734-822-1600 to join in the discussion.
It's coming up.
And welcome back. Thank you for catching my drift this Saturday afternoon. Dan Smith, County Commissioner, Washtenaw County, sitting in with us. And have a phone call from an awesome guy. I would like to consider him a friend. Dr. Rob Steele, how are you?
Hey, Gary and Dan, great show. I've been in and out of the car and caught a little bit of it, and just had a couple of comments to add to your discussion.
Well, bring it forth.
Well, first, just as an aside, Dan, I'm the newest member of the Planning Commission in Superior Township.
Oh, well, congratulations.
And so, you know, they've got, you know, history of great government in Superior Township, actually, and, you know, Democrat-dominated, but tends to be a fairly conservative Democrat, very well managed, and so that should be an interesting time. But
The
freedom to work thing and the contract extensions, it's a very interesting thing, and I think, Dan, you mentioned a couple of the things were very good, and I have many patients who own companies and who are on the business side of some of these contract extensions. And they have all confirmed exactly what we suspect, is that the union leadership is quite willing to sell out their membership. And I hear a story every week in this last few weeks from these business owners who say the union leaders are coming with incredible concessions. And, you know, the business owners have these guys over a barrel, and the union leadership is agreeing to all kinds of things they would never have agreed to before. Because they're more interested in the dues than they are in the quality of the contract for their members.
Yeah, that's true, Rob. That's what I mean. It doesn't seem like it's a win-win situation for anybody, does it?
Well, it's a win-win for the union leadership, and of course that was the whole point behind Freedom to Work, is that it had nothing to do with the relationship between the union and the businesses. It had strictly to do, you know, with accountability of the union leadership to their union dues-paying members. And you know, my comment always is I don't know why the union leaders are so scared about the opportunity or freedom to work, because if they have an excellent product they're offering their dues-paying members, why would they ever quit paying dues?
Right, right. Rob, while I got you on the horn here, how much did you – can you educate me a little bit on the health care exchange with the Senate? I'm still a little on the confused side.
Well, you know, the inside workings of the machinations at the state government, I'm not as familiar with, to tell you the truth, though I've kept up with it and involved a lot of folks who are very involved. But let me just say in a general sense that the Affordable Care Act couldn't be more destructive to every aspect of American life, government, freedom, liberty, patient health, patient care, access, cost. Every problem that we've had in health care is made many times worse by the Affordable Care Act. And it's so egregious that you can only basically assume that it's done intentionally. But, you know, it's going to become fully active in 2014, January 1, with everything in place. And so we're going to have 11 months, basically, to work hard and educate everyone as to the destructive nature of the Affordable Care Act and try to take some positive action in that November election. But the Medicaid expansion is a disaster for the states, for the budget. The federal government, of course, has no money whatsoever to pay for these expansions. The interesting thing about the Affordable Care Act and Medicaid is that if you qualify for Medicaid, you go on automatically. You don't have any say. And your W-2 is going to be hooked in. If you look at your current W-2s, you can see the health care deduction or the health care dollar that your employer is paying. And so all of this stuff is going immediately to the IRS and to the federal agencies running these things. And so if they're calculating your income and they're finding that you qualify for Medicaid, boom, you're on it without choice. And it's even possible that you could move on and off during the year based on the changes in your W-2. It's an absolute disaster because there's no physicians available to take care of Medicaid patients. And over 50% of the patients to be covered under the Affordable Care Act are covered via Medicaid.
Yeah, and I had an article on the Daily Drift today about 6 out of 10 doctors are actually thinking of retiring early so they don't have to deal with this. Are you getting that from your fellow doctors?
Oh, yeah. Yes, we have some of our most experienced, highly qualified. I'm in a specialty practice of cardiology, and then we subspecialize within our practice. Everybody subspecializes further. And the brain power that's going to be retiring here in the near future is incredible. There, in fact, was the numbers are firm on what people think in the practicing world. There was a big survey of practicing physicians that concluded a few months ago, a nationwide survey, all doctors, by a company called Merritt Hawkins. And over 50% of physicians are limiting new Medicare patients. 30% take zero Medicaid. Approximately 50% are considering retiring because in cardiology, for example, over half the physicians in our subspecialty and in my subspecialty of interventional cardiology as well are over 55. And one of the big things that's not discussed in the Affordable Care Act is the incredible shortage of physicians that's going to be occurring. You're going to have people retiring early. You're going to have people not accepting Medicare. You're going to have practicing physicians quit their regular practice and go to so-called concierge medicine, where they maybe presently have 3,000 patients in their practice. They'll take maybe 300 who are each paying a fee to be there. You have this concept of hospitalist, which happens in the hospitals now, where the primary care physician no longer takes care of the patient. So now a patient used to have one doctor taking care of them, now it takes three doctors. You know, those are just a few of the facts. There's a couple more. I mean, I could go forever here, and I don't mean to.
Right.
Well,
let me ask you this, Rob.
It's crazy what's going on.
Yeah, let me ask you this. Because you did run for Congress, and I won't ask if you're going to go give it another shot. I wish you would, because I thought you did a fabulous job for your first time out. But are you surprised that the GOP-led House has not taken a stronger stance at defunding some of the things that's going ahead with Obamacare?
Yeah, I think that's a little disappointing. And no, I would never run for the House of Representatives again. You know, the Democrat district where I live is going to stay that way no matter who runs, whether they're alive or not at the time the election occurs. That Democrat side will be elected.
That's very true. We could end up having a mannequin running for Dingell's seat next time.
Yeah, this district is designed to be Democrat. And, you know, They redo the districts in not a favorable way necessarily. I mean, I dominated Monroe County, and they took that out of the district. And you know, but yeah, it's a surprise. The Affordable Care Act is just so destructive. I just can't emphasize to your listeners in every way it's destructive. Costs will explode. Access to care. I mean, everybody will be able to get in line for health care, but it's an endless line. I mean, it's a line leading to nowhere. There will be no care available at the end of that line. You're going to have a massive explosion of bureaucracy costs. You're going to have, you know, doctors working for hospitals almost virtually entirely, unless they're concierge, and, you know, get used to government service. And, you know, there's going to be hours. You're going to clock in. You're going to clock out. There's going to be shifts. You know, physicians traditionally have been small business owners who took care of their patients. I mean, that was their business, was the doctor-patient relationship. And now the doctors, with third-party payment, now don't work for the patients so much, but at least it's clear there's no other bureaucracy in the middle. But now you're going to have employed physicians working for third-party payers and third-party employers, and so the doctor-patient relationship is basically absent now in a general fiduciary sense.
Right.
Yeah, bad news.
Well, I read an article not too long ago about a company that actually was paying its employees if they needed major surgery. They would fly them and their spouse to Costa Rica for the surgery and leave them down there in a top-notch hotel for recovery, the whole nine yards. And it was cheaper than dealing with the American healthcare system. Have you seen or heard of that before?
Oh, absolutely. Medical tourism is huge. It's here in the United States. Unfortunately, the Affordable Care Act outlawed that basic concept for Medicare, but a group I belong with, Docs for Patient Care, who fought hard against the Affordable Care Act. We were the only organized physician group who was amicus brief to the Attorney General lawsuit. We were the only doctors group to testify against the Affordable Care Act in front of Darrell Issa's committee. We're having our first state chapter meeting here in the summer, July 1920, and one of our main speakers is going to be a man who runs the Oklahoma Surgery Center, where you can log on to Oklahoma Surgery Center, hit the button for cost, and it'll show you exactly how much it costs for each procedure. And it's on the order of 25% or less of what it would cost to get in the hospital. And this is a top-notch place, top-notch training. But medicine and higher education are the same. Revenue centers try to increase their revenue at the maximum amount because the money is available from the federal government. And right. When there's cost transparency, that's what people don't understand, is with a lot of the proposals that people have put forward on the conservative side with health savings accounts, high deductible plans, and cost transparency, what they don't understand is that prices will collapse and go down dramatically, and it will be affordable. The reason it's unaffordable is the same reason the college tuition is unaffordable, because it's fueled by federal money, and these big institutions, hospitals or higher education institutes, do everything they can to suck up every federal dollar they can, and that requires higher prices.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Dr. Rob, thank you so much for calling in. Appreciate it. You are always welcome, sir, to call into this show. Love to have you on.
Well, thanks so much, guys. Great job.
Thank you.
Nice hearing from you, Rob.
Yeah. Take care.
Yeah. Take care, Dan. Bye-bye.
Well, there we go. Dr. Rob, always a wealth of information. It's too bad we didn't get him instead of Dingle. Well, Dan, thank you for coming in. Thank you again for being the voice of common sense and reason on the County Commission.
Well, thank you, Gary.
Hopefully we'll have you on again.
Well, nice talking with you.
Yeah. Until next time, stay informed, stay current, go to thedailydrift.com. See you next week.